poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it through to a show celebrating Jack Kerouac being sober for 16,803 days. It's World Poetry Open Mic. I'm your humble host, J. Todd Underhill. On my right-hand side, he's the man, the myth, the legend in his own mind. He is Michael Amade.
Thank you.
Man.
I'm on your right.
Seriously?
Oh, sorry, I'm
the
confused.
Other hand.
Yeah, my left-hand side.
Oh, okay.
It's all right, man. You know, I've been thinking a lot about things this week. I've been thinking about kind of the legacy we leave.
Yes.
And, you know, I really wanted to think about, you know, the legacy I want to be able to leave is one of peace. And I figure, Yes. You know how you know that that peace is the thing you've left behind, is you get a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes.
That's what these guys say. And I realized, I really want one of those things.
Yes, you do.
I really, really, that's my big goal. I want a Nobel Peace Prize.
Okay.
So I got to figure out a good way to do this. You guys have to help me because I would kill for a Nobel Peace Prize right now.
That kind of just put you out of the running right there.
You got to do what it takes, man. You got to do what it takes.
All right. And on his left-hand side, he's the man that's got three Peace Prizes and not willing to give one to Michael. He is the Half Squatch.
Oh, good evening.
Unfortunately, they're not Nobel Peace Prizes, but they are Peace Prizes.
I wrote Nobel on them.
Okay.
N-O-B-E-L-L.
Reese's Peace Prizes I will settle for.
I can give you some of those.
Maybe. Yeah. Nobel should make those. That would be a great branding thing. Nobel Reese's Pieces Prizes.
No.
No.
They're not a sponsor, but we do
Reese's,
have...
Reese's, I'll accept the check later. You're welcome.
We do have... three sponsors we need to let you know about. Yes, I just said three sponsors. That's because we've got a new one. We'll save them for last, though. Mm-hmm. So, I want you to know, knetbooks.com. Check them out if you need college level, master's level, bachelor's level.
Or if you just need to learn to read.
They're a great source, too. Just get any one of their books and teach yourself. You can teach yourself anything as long as you do know how to read.
And or get someone who will show you how.
KNetBooks proves it on a weekly basis.
That's true.
knetbooks.com. Check them out. Also, you saw them on the way in. Naturebox.com. If you want to lead a healthy lifestyle and, you know, keep yourself GMO-free, gluten-free, sugar-free, sodium-free, but the subscription is not free, you're going to want to check out Naturebox.com. Your taste buds will never be bored again. And, of course, we have a third sponsor tonight. We'd like to welcome on board to the World Poetry Open Mic family, HollywoodMemorabilia.com. If you want to collect anything, movie posters, pictures of stars that are autographed, guitars. I noticed that your boy Gordo signed a few guitars over there.
You know, yeah, I'm all about Gordo. Sting, as we like to call him, you know, professionally. But Gordo is what the people who really, really know him like to refer to him as.
Yes.
But we're the people we see him more often when he hangs around naturally at home. He looks like his character in Dune.
Okay. I get it.
Wow. That's impressive.
It's kind of weird, man. It's a European thing. I don't know.
It's got to be.
Must be.
Got to be. Yeah,
so,
it's like
welcome aboard Hollywood Memorabilia. You'll get used to our unique way of advertising. And thank you for sending that nude picture of B. Arthur and Ernest Borgnine to Michael. He really appreciates that as well.
Anything with just say the words Ernest Borgnine and I'm in.
There you go. Jumping feet first into the comedy, we are off the hook tonight.
Wow.
What we do here is we do poetry. We want to hear your poetry. We want it 1 to 3 minute long. We can let you go over if you have a good flow going, which a lot of our poets have been doing lately. I'm good like that. What we don't want is we don't want any F-bombs. We want it PG-13. We have an all-ages audience, and we don't want any hate speech. And with that being said, if you're joining us in the chat room, it's not allowed there either. We don't want hate speech there either. We will boot you if you use it there.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's light up the phone line, 720-240-9766.
We need 5 callers, 720-240-9766.
Call us. Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice, we've only got 1 week until submissions close on our anthology. Get on it, guys. And Mariah, if you're writing for the submission now, I don't blame you. Okay, just kidding. So we've got 5 of the best lined up for you. I am so excited to be back at the studios hanging out with my bros in poetry. We call it broetry? Anyway.
Yeah, pose before bros.
Bros before pros. I don't know.
Pose before bros and bros before pros.
Who knows? Anyway, we've got a caller all the way from Connecticut. Please welcome
Thug Life.
Barbara.
Anyway, we've got a caller all the way from Connecticut. Hi, guys.
Hi, welcome to our show.
I'm so happy to be here. It's not Friday without you guys.
Well, no, it's still Friday without us. It's just not nearly entertaining.
So I'm thinking, which I wrote 2 poems in the time that I was away from you.
What? Productive.
Yes, very productive. One was kind of pushed on, well, also kind of pushed on me, to tell you the truth. My experiences. So I think I'll read you this one because it's more in keeping with music and stuff.
Okay.
Okay. It's called Visiting a Familiar Place. I took the trip to Peekskill, knowing I would pass by places where you used to frequent and where you found peace. And I remembered your joy as you did your crossword puzzle amidst the din of the filled coffee shop. Aromas of fresh brewed coffee and pastry mixing in a tantalizing Sunday smell. And on the few times we listened to live music there, your thrill at finding a new artist, this 10-year-old boy excitement at hearing new music. You cataloged all these experiences while I glided through them like a shower of music tumbling over me. I thought of how I would need to be alone in a new place as I listened to my friend tonight, and how your eyes would have gleamed at the sounds he produced, fitting this experience into your Rolodex of memories, while I admired the sounds and the way his music made me feel, letting it seep me in the emotions of the pinging of those guitar strings and the juxtaposition of the chords in a harmonious ecstasy. And it was all that, but I missed your presence, and as I sat alone, conversing and connecting, I wished you were there to hold on to your arm. You were the bulwark of my life, and see your smile back to me as we enjoyed it together.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you wrote that this week?
I wrote that Sunday, yeah.
Nice. Very good work.
You know my writing process. I just sit down and write. That's it. And most of the time, it's just a little bit of tweaking here and there. But the poem is basically written. And this came because I went to see a friend of mine who I knew politically and then found out that he plays Spanish guitar, which was just awesome. Michael, you would have loved it. I mean, really.
Oh, yeah.
His technique was so good. And then I met a friend there also who I don't see very often, and we went to dinner and stuff. And one of the people who, there were like 4 different performers there, and they were all really good. One of the people there who is kind of, do you know Christine Lavin?
Do you?
The singer?
Sure. No.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head, no.
What does she sing?
She's like a satirist. She's a singer and satirist and folk singer. And, anyway, she was talking about this coffee shop that was in Peekskill. And when I got home, I actually had my friend's photo, and I saw my friend, and I thought about the whole night and wrote this poem. So that's how it got into being.
Oh, well, good. Very good, that was Barbara. Wonderful. Thank you, Barbara. Thanks for sharing. That's a great way to kick off the night.
Thank you.
Thank you for leading the way.
I'm happy. Oh, you're welcome. I have another, but we'll see if I can get on the return engagement.
We'll see.
Okay. Getting off now so other people can read.
Awesome. Thank you, Barbara.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Wow. That was a very crisp, clear hitting of the pond with that chicken thigh. Or baseball.
I'm waiting because he's. You see the technique. He's trying to skip him.
He's
trying to skip the chicken.
Maybe the next one he'll do the skip.
I don't know. I remember being told it's an old proverb, and I'll tell it sometime. But the moral of the story was don't skip a chicken.
No, I think the moral of the story was don't eat the fish.
That's a different story.
Oh, okay.
That's
sorry.
Really gross.
All right. So we've got another caller. Please welcome from New York. She is Lorraine.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome aboard.
Hello there. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
How are you, Lorraine?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm very glad to hear that. I'm trying to choose between two. One is written by one of my favorite poets, Merritt Malloy. Did you ever hear her?
No.
Merritt Malloy, oh my God, she's fantastic. On the back of her books, she has a saying that says, as long as I'm awake, you'll always be alive. And I love that. Mm. It's just one of these, she's a lot like me, and I'd love to meet her one day. Anyhow, wonderful. I'm going to read something I wrote and bore you to death. So
that's what we want. If you come back, if we come back from the poem and we're dead, then you'll know you've done your job.
Then I've done my job. Okay, well, here goes. In fact, I just wrote it a couple hours ago.
Okay.
Pinwheels of thoughts circle my mind over and over, catapulting into something I cannot understand. I refuse to believe. I won't conceive. A memory long ago, painful, but sustained. It lives still somewhere inside of me. The question, why is it there? Why, I question. There is no answer, just fragments of a time and pieces of me. And poem. No boredom?
No boredom. Not even a yawn.
Fantastic.
Actually, Lorraine, I have to tell you, since it's around Halloween, I think I should just be honest. We died and came back. We are now the undead World Poetry Open Mic.
Oh, my God. You're resurrected.
We are.
That's even better.
No. Resurrected for higher beings. We're actually just reanimated.
Resurrected for higher beings. Nothing wow. better than a resurrected poet or a musician.
Well, that's
or
the thing. All we had to do was pop some pills, and we were resurrected in no time.
How
well,
very
listen,
Charlie
I'm
Sheen
glad
of you.
Came back. I'm really glad you came back. And when should I call back? But can you give me an idea so I don't fall asleep?
Sometime in the future, not so long that it's tomorrow morning and not so long that it's midnight.
Well,
our
she's
time.
On the East Coast. It might actually
it's
be
so
tomorrow
helpful.
Morning.
Our time. It's sometime in there. We're hoping that we have, three
I hope you have a lot of calls.
More segments.
I do.
Yeah.
So,
on that thought, I'll try again.
Stay glued to the chat room. I'm sure they'll clue you in when our return engagement starts in the chat room.
That sounds great. But with the chat room, I can't get on. I'm one of those non-technological beings that, I live by thinking alone.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
How are you going to survive, Lorraine?
I don't know. But I'd love to share Merritt Malloy's with you. So whenever, I'll give a try in about an hour or so.
All righty.
Sounds good.
Thank you. I'll talk to you then.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, guys. Okay, bye-bye.
That was Lorraine on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. Wow, too strong right out of the gate.
Too strong. Too strong.
Not too legit to quit. No. I know you're stretching for that.
I was trying to figure out a way to make that work, and it wasn't going to work.
Yeah. But you talk about legit poets. How about our strongest, longest supporter from the state of Michigan? He is Dennis.
Hello, World Poetry Open Mic. I'm back.
All right.
Hey, I'm glad you're back. I missed you last week.
Yes, I was listening, but I just wasn't participating. But I was with you. I really was.
That was awesome. Thank you.
It's hard to miss a Friday, I tell you. You guys are addicting.
Well, I got to say, we're talking about it at our pre-show meeting this Wednesday. We don't remember what we would do on Fridays before starting the show.
Yes, I understand that.
And, you know, I'm glad we don't remember because this is such a huge, important part of our lives.
Yes, and it makes Fridays so special. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Yes, it does.
Well, I have a poem this evening. It's a poem that Raj Kumar asked me to read in his place.
Nice.
So this is what I'm reading for you tonight. The title is Love Songs Written on Parchment by Raj Kumar. Floating maple leaves brought on shore, parchment of poetic love, a door. Symbol of love, held code galore. What lies hidden in on leaves' content? Wondrous symphony, lone heart song. Lovers stayed apart, self-restraint kept them away from where they belong. What was written on those parchments? Best love poems of lovers. Time spent. First time we saw it, though not met. There was a knight and his own lass, spent together days and lone nights. History of love written on sash. Swords pierced through them in the moonlight. And that is the end.
I think you and I shared a William Shatner moment. You paused, and I was like, oh, hey, that's the end. I'll start to clap, and then nothing. You just keep going. Dennis, thank you very much.
When you're reading somebody else's poem, you try to give it some emphasis where you think it might need it. You try to read into it, and I'm hoping that was his intention for it to sound something. He reads some beautiful, beautiful poetry, and I'm glad that he allowed me to share that with you this evening.
Awesome. Thank you. That's one World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month sharing another World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month's work. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. We poets of the month stick together. Well, thank you for letting me read, and I'll get out of the way and let the next poet step up to the mic.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Whoa.
Three skips on that.
That was like sounded like a remix. A remix chicken toss.
A remix. Are we doing chicken tonight or baseball? Or,
No, I think it might be chicken. Pork. Was that pork?
No, it was chicken.
As long as we keep it kosher.
Got it.
No. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
I'm basically, for everyone at home, I'm just trying to get Jay Todd to just go, what?
Yeah.
It's working.
It's
so
working
far.
Very yeah. well. So, someone who's always kosher with us, please welcome from Kentucky, he is Philip.
Howdy, fellers.
Hello, Philip. How are you?
Well, sir, I have Apocalypse Now playing in the background and bourbon in my cup, and that answers your question.
beautiful.
So the sobriety thing's out the window at this point.
At least tonight, sir, you know, but at least all I can say is, you know, I'm not too intoxicated to read, but at the same time, you know, I am easygoing, happy-go-lucky, and just honored that you guys are there tonight and, you know, getting the word out there about poetry, so I feel fortunate, let's put it that way. Actually, I'm celebrating, to be honest with you. I had a gal tonight who is a publisher and also a poet, and she has honored me with the promise that I think sometime in the next year she is willing to publish X number of poems of mine. And, you know, it just was overwhelming to me. I you know, that's even more important than the actual publication, let's put it that way. So,
yeah,
I'm happy as a pig and et cetera.
Yes.
So I don't mean to blab and talk about my you know, whatever you want to call that, my ego. I just, you know, it was a really delightful day. So, yes, I'm celebrating.
No,
and,
that's not ego. That's a beautiful thing. Please, anybody that's been published, let us know where we can find your work. This is what this forum's about. We want all the voices we can get to be heard.
Right. And I hear you, and, you know, I just, it, well, when I get more information, I will certainly let you fellows know, and, you know, I'm sitting here blabbing, and here I am, I'm also red-faced because I'm about ready to read this poem that I have dedicated to one of my first friends, okay, and just to, you know, not that I want to go into this whole preface, my friend was about 12 or 13, I was about 9, and there was just, like, you know, edge that he had over me for those 3 years, you know, like he was that much more advanced, but I always looked up to him, so I'll get right to it. The poem is titled Vigorously Shaking the Magic Eight Ball While Addressing Those Initial Questions Asked in Youth as a Middle-Aged Man, and this is dedicated to Jason Montgomery, my first best friend and mentor from childhood, and I'll get right to it. Eyes wearied with dialectic visions between how it could be and how it is. All that brazen talk about an apocalypse since John first scribed Revelations and Nostradamus hung his laurels on a baffling collection of quatrains. Entities of light and darkness, these inquisitive melancholic orbs enraptured by every conceivable permutation that leads toward undeniable incompleteness. Standing unsettled at the precipice abyss, this colossal maw that engulfs reason, a gaze captivated by eternal returns and the fervent urge to leap flightless. Though I intuit wondrous unknowns, societies inhabited by a selfless citizenry, an economy that comprises itself on precious units of knowledge understood, traded, and contributed, in a cosmos where humans make suns and solar systems with a mystical physics that today would be regarded as magic, I'll barely witness the brink like Moses, only barely aware of those promises at last fulfilled, a celestial covenant revealed to those lineages who honored love's steadfast simplicity. And there it is, fellers.
Congratulations on your great news, great poem. Keep on writing, my friend. You're a great poet.
Oh, I appreciate it, and the same goes for all of you guys. You know, from the haiku master down to Amade and you two, young man, I really appreciate hearing your voice, and I look forward to the second half of the show, so thank you so much.
You're going to want to listen to the second half of the show. Stay sober enough, because I'm doing a special poem, something that I've not
done. I look forward to it, yes, sir. I will be sober enough for you, absolutely. Cheers.
Awesome. Cheers, brother. That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
I'm going to be honest, that sounds kind of like a gun cocking.
Wow.
You know what, dude?
Going for distance.
No. You know what we could do? You remember that potato gun I made last summer?
Yeah.
You know the one where we shot the potatoes at the other potatoes and thought we'd cause a recursion?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't we retrofit that for chicken?
Ooh.
We have a chicken cannon.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And while we're working on it, while we're doing it, we have to play Pachelbel's Cannon in the background because it's just awesome.
All right.
I'll just sit in the corner eating more of that cannon fodder.
Hey, man. That cannon fodder is great because, you know, so you have like double baked potatoes, things like that. If you ever shot a potato at another potato and then cooked both of those potatoes, it's a whole other level.
Twice fried fries.
Smashed potatoes.
Literally.
All right. Let's bring it back in, guys. We've got a caller from the Poetry State. Please welcome from Michigan. He is Chris.
Hey, J. Todd. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Haven't heard from you in a while.
Well, yeah. We all need to take a break every now and then.
We do, and we missed you, just so you know.
Well, I appreciated the note I found there at Writer's Cafe. That was a nice touch. Thanks, guys.
Hey, not a problem.
Not a lot. Well, as Dennis and others, we passed Poets of the Month, a fine crew we are, and tell Mike that didn't sound like a gun cocking at all. Originally, I'd planned earlier this week to pop in and see you guys this evening and read something kind of light and funny, at least to me, and you know how my sense of humor is, so you might have liked it or not.
Yeah, I probably would.
But today I was over at the VA clinic going through some things there and catching up with some people and talking with some other past members of the various services, just catching up more or less. And with the statement today by the Secretary of Defense about the master sergeant that died during the rescue op,
yeah,
I thought this would be more appropriate for at least the first reading. If I do one later, well, who knows. This is for Master Sergeant Joshua L. Wheeler of Roland, Oklahoma. In memory, there comes a time when each must choose to walk your talk, to stand up, face yourself, and be who you are, how you are, and yeah, what you are. And sometime the actual cost is all you have. Sergeant Wheeler ran toward the gunfire, not to take life, but to save it from being taken. He stood up because it's what we do, what we all do and did when our own turns came up. And in our times, men and women needed to stand, face our souls, and move toward, not away. I hear the pipes a-calling, the shades of memories to home. People ever in the hearts of we who toast the missing. I hear the pipes a-calling and feel the shadows gather round as friends whisper through the years and touch tomorrow's now. I hear the pipes a-calling and they will call for us all and the memories of who we are await the toasts as we stood for tomorrow after all. Thank you, Master Sergeant Wheeler, U.S. Army. gave all you had, that others might have tomorrows. Semper Fi, and you are being toasted.
Chris, you got me right in the feels with that one, man.
It was necessary.
Quite.
We need to remember it's important to remember the people that stood for us. You know, we've each stood in our own time, and he saved people he didn't know. I mean, those weren't American hostages. Those were nationals to the area. And they already had their grave dug. And he was willing to stand there and get them out and get them home to their people. And that's what we're about.
That's
we're not there to take lives. We're there to bring people back.
True hero. There.
That said it all. Anyway, I was needing to say hi to you guys again. I'd miss being around.
We're happy.
Thank you,
Chris.
Did. We're happy you came back, and looking forward to the return engagement already. I've missed your voice, man.
Well, you're gonna like the next one. It's sort of funny.
All right.
Good deal.
So, I'll catch you then. This way, you get more people on.
Awesome.
Take care, guys.
We'll talk to you soon, Chris. That was Chris on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. Yeah. Anything to salute someone that's fought for our country, the ones that have given their all, and there are people still alive that went to war and gave their all and didn't come back the same person. They never came back the same people.
I don't see how you could.
Hell, my father wasn't even in country in Vietnam. He was communication support. He didn't come back the same person. Can't say enough to anybody that's taken the time out of their lives to serve our country. Can't thank them enough. No matter what branch, without regard to any branch, you guys are all heroes in my books.
And he's got a lot of books.
I do. And they're growing, too. Thinking about doing another one real quick. So this poem that I'm going to read is actually something inspired by our co-host, Michael.
Oh.
I was, in 2012, dealt a lot of stuff onto my plate, and, he gave me this mantra. It's a Hawaiian mantra to chant, and it eventually worked its way into a poem. We were sitting at a Village Inn, actually, right after we had started the show. And he's like, hey, check this out. And he gave it to me. And I'm like, all right. And I went home and wrote this. And this is simply entitled Mantra. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry for all of the transgressions I have done to this earth and to those around me. I'm merely a human, and I am fallible. I make mistakes from time to time. I am imperfect. Please forgive me for all that I have done to offend, for all of my human qualities, for every sin, big and small. I do nothing intentionally to harm you. Thank you for all that you have done for me, for making my life worth living, for understanding me and my ways, for your patience with me as I try my best to muddle through. I love you for everything you are and are not. With all of my heart and soul, I surrender everything to you. With every fiber of my being, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. Yeah. Thank you for inspiring that.
Absolutely. That's a really good one.
Pardon me. Yeah.
That's a really, that, and that's one thing. It can sound, depending on where you're coming at it, that saying can sound kind of new agey, a little bit out there, and you know. But at the same time, when you're going through some moments of real pain, or shame, or you know, a lot of things, for some reason, those phrases, "I'm sorry," "Please forgive me," "Thank you," "I love you," they actually start to slowly, just very subtly, change how you're feeling. And if you can just in your head, just let them kind of move, it seems to do a lot of good.
I agree wholeheartedly. It's gotten me through a lot of rough times, and I thank you. And with that being said, are we doing a submission? No, we're doing that next segment.
We're doing that next segment. We're going to move on to the next segment of 5 unique callers.
So if you've not called the show yet, give us a call. And you want to share your poetry, 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
5 unique ones. Yeah, C.W. McCall. He's the man.
He is the man. That's the truth.
That was, the myth, that was, the legend.
No, that's him.
Oh, that's right.
No, no.
sorry.
Cedar right. McCall, what a great gentleman. And, you know, I go through and I've got the entire phone call saved. So I go through every once in a while and give that whole thing a list. I nerd out. I'm such a nerd.
Sometimes we hang out. I'll have a sleepover. We'll all come over. We'll do each other's hair and listen to C.W. McCall.
The whole phone call.
The whole phone call. Wow.
Okay, so Michael doesn't have any hair we can do, but that's all right.
It's okay. That's never held me back before.
I'll shave his
wigs.
Head
for him. Hello. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I never did. Yeah.
All hey, right.
I have plenty of friends who wear wigs.
Yeah. So we, wow, slam like that, huh? We have 3 callers for this segment, which will trigger the return engagement for
Return engagement? Yeah. Okay.
All right. And so get your dialing fingers ready. We will allow repeats and...
your dialing fingers. What is... I don't know why that image just made me laugh.
Well, we used to do this, remember?
That's yes.
Hilarious. I know.
The rotary dial.
Well, no, I love the rotary dial. I'm a rotary dial man through and through. However...
It just doesn't work in today's technology.
You ever tried texting with one of those things?
A, B, Z...
Meanwhile, someone's like, why is he taking so long to respond?
Oh. Oh, my head.
I somehow feel like I always slip into the role of Donkey in Trek when I'm
pretty
on
much. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
It's awesome. Well done.
Thank you. I've been working on this for a while.
All right. So we do have 3 posts lined up. We want to go to rain-soaked Texas. David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, is it raining where you're at?
Is it later?
Is it raining?
Oh, is it raining? Yes, actually, it's raining like crazy. The storms from the hurricane are pushing directly through us, like right through the middle of us. So, yeah.
I got to say, I was late to the studio. Our normal time is 7 o'clock. I was here just a few minutes late because I was watching the continuing coverage out of Texas of all the rainfall.
Yeah, man, we're actually going on vacation this weekend to Little Rock, and it's moving directly that direction, too. So we're going to be in Little Rock indoors. doing I don't know, art museums and stuff like that.
That's all right. That's all right. Good indoor fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So you got a poem you'd like to share with us?
I do. A lot of my poetry is pretty subjective. So, you know, it makes me wonder how well it'll go over, you know, being over the air like this, where it can't really be examined, I suppose. But I wanted to write a poem. I made a poem just kind of about my process, or not necessarily my process, but my journey since I've been writing the last 18 years. So I just wanted to kind of preface with that, so it'd be maybe a little more obvious what I'm talking about. So I'm going to go ahead and start it. It's called Home Away From Home. In this, we find our hubris. In this, we have inclusion. In this, we feel a binding, like filaments bound between the stars, suspended lights guiding us back to the comfort of a patio's warmth or to the blur of grass blades. I paced within. I puffed up like a shiny latex balloon. I squeaked a breath against the locked door, but it was as expected. The world did not rise or stir to my intent. I deflated, and then I wanted deflation as a natural state of mind or mode of being, a deviation from the foul waste of time. My nurtured air is inviting yet veiled through a screen door's metal crosshatching, where I pull it unceremoniously from the eddies bursting by my doorframe. I try to leave, but I'm visible through windows. No matter how I dip down behind black curtains, it presses against the window in my form. I give concession to the house of possibility and breathe its perfumed lust into me, where it rolls across my tongue, prosaic yet naturally resplendent. As the door unlocks, I grow into the lawn as an oak and push towards the boundaries of the boundless sky. Thank you.
That translates very well. I don't know why you're putting down your own work. You're quite the writer and quite the spoken word artist, even though this is your second time.
It was only the second time. David, that was awesome last week, and we're so happy to have you this week, man.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
We hope you keep on calling our show because we enjoy your work.
I will. Thanks.
That was David on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
You know, it's so cool. When we think about, you know, there's people here who share their poetry with all kinds of poets. And we've got something pretty big we're working on, we'll announce later.
Yes.
That's kind of even bigger than you know.
It's going to be bigger than us.
Oh, my God.
Let's just call it that.
We had a moment where we were figuring out going, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But this is
good. I don't know. I think my ego is pretty big. And
really?
I know, Michael, your ego is much bigger.
And I'm working on it. I'm working on amping it. I want to get to Kanye. In fact, my thing is I want to do the thing we talked about last week during the presidential inauguration. I want to talk about a Beyonce video walk up. I'm going to let you finish.
No.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
He's going to get shy. And I'm going to be looking for a co-host. If you have radio skills, please contact me at...
But at any rate, the thing I think is really cool is that this is all about, you know, a place where people's voices matter.
Yes.
And, you know, whether it's from David, someone who's just sharing his poetry for the first time, you know, last week and then back this week, or people who do it all the time, you know, everybody has that level audience. That's so cool.
Yes.
Anyway.
So we do have somebody returning to our family we haven't heard from in a while. Someone whose voice we love, whose work we love, please welcome back from Oregon. She is Ola.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You have been missed, my friend.
Thank you. I've been here.
Rumor has it that they've been looking at the chat room and seeing you there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I wrote this a little while ago, so here it is.
All right.
Are you going to read tonight? Maybe. 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 It's been a long and busy day, and I have nothing prepared. But still, I come. I come to hear your spoken art, to lean into the gentle timbre as words caress my ear, to cradle in the warmth of thoughts so carefully chosen to share. Will I read tonight? Yes. And maybe. Maybe, maybe I will revel in the joy that comes when we touch heart to heart. End poem.
Very well done, Ola.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming back to our show. Thank you for sharing that. We look forward to hearing more from you at your time.
Thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. That was Ola on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
It's cool having her back.
It is. Yeah. It was really cool. I'd missed her voice.
There's so many people that, you know, that we've over the last month.
Yeah.
Before our third anniversary.
Right.
Which is pretty insane.
Which means I've been stuck with you two sweaty guys for 3 years.
On, mister, I could power a boat myself.
And you don't even need a rudder.
or a propulsion system.
We'll keep that PG-13, though.
No, the point is, wait a second. This is like, you know what this is? This is like a pot calling a pair of bananas black. We're not even remotely the same.
You know... I'm sorry. That doesn't even make any sense.
Exactly. He's trying to make us sound like
it does. Sense as that mixed metaphor you use.
It's all him. That's the point. It's not the pot calling the kettle black because they're both black. It's not us. It's you. You're the worst.
Okay.
But I love you, brother.
Whatever. All right. Let's gather back in. We do have a new caller.
That tanked it. Anyway.
Serious up. We've got a new caller, damn it.
Okay.
And have you noticed that, like, the first segment was a definitive eastern slant of the United mm-hmm. States, and this next segment has been a western slant? We had Texas. We had Oregon. Let's keep it out west. Let's go to Washington. Please welcome Rexanne.
Hello.
Hi, Rexanne. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me.
I got it. We asked the same question of all our new callers. How did you hear about our show?
Barbara alerted me to your wonderful broadcast.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Barbara. Yeah.
And you have a poem that you'd like to share with us?
Excuse me?
And you have a poem that you'd like to share with us?
Yes, I do have a poem I'd like to share with you.
All right.
All right. The poem is called The Saxophone. A melody tripped my memory, deep soulful notes, proud alleyways, viscous as mercury blurring into the night, dripping raindrops, ringing dark puddles on slick sidewalks, auditory reflections, shimmering mirages. Whispers are extracted from forgotten dreams, pleading codas hang suspended in thick, misty air, sharps and flats, cut like knives. Frail hopes are cruelly excised. A mournful wail wraps its sodden shroud around me with an enigmatic smile. I am hypnotized, paralyzed within each sorrowful refrain. A melody tripped my memory. Silver mirrored puddles birth quiet reflections in a jazz-laden rain.
Very well done, Rexanne.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Please, make this a regular stop on your Friday nights.
I plan to. I listened to it last week to get a flavor of what you're doing, and I quite enjoy it.
Awesome.
It's delicious.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you. Hopefully, we're going to return engagement. We're going to be doing a submission, and then we'll open it up to where people can repeat call, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was Rexanne on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Wow, not even a skip. It just tanked it right in.
Yeah, kind of like the last segment before Roxanne came on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Glad she saved us. Well, actually, that was me. I'm going to take full credit for tanking that segment right before
she came on.
No,
it was me too.
But she definitely pulled it out.
You know, I did want to say something about our third anniversary.
What's that?
You know this is a leather anniversary.
Oh, really?
Mike's all about the leather.
So,
yeah, I have lots of shoes.
Get ready, boys.
My gift
is going to
does that mean
impress.
We have to go to some weird leather club or something now to celebrate this thing?
That's what I was thinking. The
leather-bound books?
Oh. Why did neither of our minds go there?
I don't know.
Because you guys think of everything that's hanging on the walls.
Yeah, I was thinking superhero costumes.
We could do that, too, if you really wanted to, but...
Bookman.
Oh, sure.
We have Bookman and the Bookmarker.
We can go to the crypt and buy all our gifts for our third anniversary there, and then we can roll up into the brig for a cocktail afterwards.
I have
no idea. All yours. Yeah, you go ahead.
You go ahead and you go ahead and do that yourself. I think JT and I are going to go to.
Actually, I had a DJ from Bozeman, Montana, a friend of mine, roll into town and insist that he meet me for a cocktail after work. Now, mind you, I wasn't in the mood, and I wasn't in the mood for his antics, so I'm like, yeah, meet me at the Brig down on Broadway. He showed up at my house later after I took the bus home, and he's like, do you realize where you just sent me? I'm like, yes, I did realize where I sent you.
And that's why you're such a popular man.
I don't speak anymore. All right. We have a submission ready to go.
We do have a submission.
Who submitted the submission?
Well, you know, strangely, the submitter submitted the submission. His name was Michael Skipper.
Okay.
And
saucy.
Way to kill the mood.
Sorry.
Okay, let's get serious. Right. Serious up, damn it. We have serious. A submission. All right, this is from Michael Skipper. There's a 50-tera hole in the sun called Sol. Made in the USA, it's full of pareidolia. Clusters of clusters, illusions, faces inside, a gallery of faces inside faces, reflections of generations. Yet, to come, coming along, long gone, just stopping by to stare every now and then. It's everywhere, like angels ever aware, in the cloudy sky, in the muddy water, in stains and smudges and smears. Can't you see what I see? I just can't see. I can't just see without finding faces, exactly what I'm looking for. Programmed to search for souls, it's in my DNA to see and be seen. A shade of saturation, it becomes you to be. Not just part of the sea, part of the scene, but to be something like a human being. That was from Michael Skipper. That was a submission. If you have a submission like that you want us to read on the air, worldpoetryopenmic.net, where you've been, of course, just go to the contact form and send it there.
Correct. We know that it can be daunting to call in with your first submission or your first phone call. To break the ice, you can do a submission. We don't mind, but we eventually do want to hear your voice, and we want to hear the author that wrote the fine work. But, you know, some people get nervous. I understand that.
Absolutely.
And we want as many voices heard on the show as possible.
And I try to do my best job to read your work, so I do apologize if you're listening and I kind of flub it a little bit.
Yes, and I got to say, I've listened to him do it. He does a great job for all that he's given and all that he does for the show. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
All right, so that'll do it for that segment.
Should we get ready to go to the...
Return engagement.
Return engagement.
Return engagement.
Return engagement.
That was the last one. It was the best one.
I don't know. What can I say?
Return engagement.
Maybe.
Return engagement.
If we quit saying return engagement, we could tell the phone number, which is 720-240-9766.
In history. 720-240-9766.
It's a free-for-all.
Call us.
And we're back.
We're back.
Return engagement. Here we come.
Return engagement.
We're going to work out.
How could that has to happen every time we say the word? Well, that word. I'm not going to say it.
I don't know.
Which word? It's not just one word. It's both words together. It's like a spell.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity for a soundbite there. Anyway, we're going to go right back to the phone lines. We've got seven of the best lined up for you. And we have a caller we haven't heard, but that'll come up later. Please welcome from New York for her second time. She is Lorraine.
Well, thank you for making me feel psychic.
that was actually
no,
intense.
No. Michael said you were psycho, not psychic.
Oh, psycho?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Well, everybody in New York is psycho. So,
Lorraine, you got to understand, with the family I come from, all musicians, Irish and Italian, Catholic. That's a term of endearment.
Oh, I was going to tell you a joke about nuns, but I'll hold that for next time.
Okay.
It takes a while.
I work with nuns, so I'm sure I would laugh.
It's a bad habit he's trying to break.
I grew up with them, believe me. None of this, none of that. No, but no, seriously, I did. And I came out of the habit, and here I am. this is a quote, and I have to read it like Dennis does so beautifully. This is from Merritt Malloy's, it's called Beware of Older Men, a nothing personal there. I want you to know that. And
I won't take any offense, Lorraine.
Nothing personal to any of you guys, but that's the name of the book. And it is a paperback, I think it's her third book out, by Merritt Malloy. And the name of this poem is called I Couldn't Say It Then. I couldn't say it then, or ever. I had lost the understanding of words. But whole landscapes of my memory were reassembled the day Paul left. The roots beneath me hardened. I could no longer remember my mother's face, so I didn't try. And charm him, review his glory, or indict him for doing what he had to do to stay alive. We had put an animal to sleep once, the two of us. Our good Easter manners had been useless. We knew the enemy. I could say that our hearts were broken, but it was more critical than that. The pain was so primal, a wrong move might cause paralysis, and I could not comfort him. I was what he suffered from. So I could not say it then or ever. How could I explain the naked force of knowing that I would always see him leaving and that the sight of it would always bring him back? End poem. Thank you.
Good reading.
Thank you, Merritt.
I liked that a lot.
Very well done.
She's amazing. Yeah, she's amazing. If you get a chance, pick her up. It's she wrote a couple of things, but under Merritt Malloy, that's her name.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Cool. Thank you so much.
And thank you. And it's so good to hear you guys clap again.
Uh-huh.
The sound of one hand clapping. There's nothing like it. But anyhow, thanks again. And that's an old joke. It's a New York joke.
No, it's a joke we all get. We were just.
Oh, really?
JT tried it.
Goes
actually
all the way to Denver and then some.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It translates. Trust me, it's yeah. We're all about Zen jokes.
I hear you. Anyhow, I'll talk to you guys next week and have a lovely, wonderful week.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
That was Lorraine on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Wow. Merritt Malloy.
What is the sound of one hand clapping, J. Todd?
I'm just not letting any of
everybody,
you beat me.
So everybody can know, the haiku master was actually just clapping one hand. Can you do that again for everybody?
Literally was doing it.
He's literally clapping one hand. That is amazing.
And that's why you are
the haiku master.
Not that one. He's...
You mean this one?
Yeah.
I'm just going to toss the headphones and give up.
You know, there are some nights that poetry is first and foremost in my book, and there are some nights that I wished I'd stay home. I'm going to let you guys guess which one this one is.
You wanted to stay
you love
home
being here.
I do love being
that's
here.
That's true.
Okay. Say.
Not as much as, you know, staying home and watching TV.
No, I'm a junkie. I'm a junkie for poetry. And we have mighty fine poet next in our order. Please welcome from the poetry state itself, he is Chris.
Hey, guys.
Hey, welcome
the
back.
Brought that one to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was very well done. But for the sound of one hand clapping, I mean, against the bass drum, works wonders.
That is true.
You can hear it around the world. You ever wonder about how Charles Schulz did the Charlie Brown? You guys going to be out in the pumpkin patch on Halloween?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was always wondering, you know, Snoopy is so cool. Now, what kind of dog is cool? You know, a dog is, yeah, George, I'm gonna go do this, I'm going to go do that. But Snoopy doesn't do that. He's got class. It's something like the Fonz.
Okay.
Okay, is Snoopy really a cat in a dog suit? You know, the cats are playing hunt a victim. So beware, you innocent barefoot. That means you open-toed, house-bound boot or shoes. The oft-strolling leg. The ravaged-to-be-socked foot. All are but a targeted beastie. The vultures gather up on high, staring, stalking, awaiting that moment of leaping, pouncing. Comes the thump of full body victory. And thereafter, the acceptance of due. The stately preening of claw by fang and tongue-tip vibrato, proudly plying, filling the ears of hapless, life-lorn, torn, pliant victims of their newfound civility-less existence. Life is good. Stares shared back and forth as tales punctuate the hunter's return to glory. Gotta love cats, man. Gotta love cats. Anyway, that was the one that I was going to read.
Who doesn't love cats? But have you noticed that there's not owning three cats? You either own one cat, two cats, or 13 cats. And that's pretty much the options you have.
Hey, they followed me home. And that's while I was walking a Great Dane. So they really wanted to be there.
Yes, they did.
And that's the way it should be. That's what cats do. You know, they have cool.
Yeah, they do. And you can tell a lot about a person by how pets react to them.
Oh, God, yes. It's terrible when, you know, when you go to the park and you sit down and you got dogs at your feet and they're just laying there, one on each foot, and they ain't yours.
This says a lot about your
character. You got a cat on your shoulder just purring away looking down at those poor fools. I'm up here where it's cool. At the same time. Yeah, you know, that's a good way to be, I guess, for anybody. The kids like the picture when you show it to them.
Yeah. My wife took a picture of one of our cats sitting directly behind me on the couch. It looks like he's perched on my shoulders like I'm giving him a piggyback ride.
And you know what else is really funny, Chris? I spent time with a bunch of tigers. And believe it or not, they are exactly the same. Just a lot bigger.
Of course they are. They're a cat.
Of
I
course,
mean, come
yeah.
On.
Right. What do you expect?
Of course, when they get angry, they swat you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
all cats swat you anyway. You know that.
But I remember hearing some quote from someone even just talking about, it was Joe Rogan. He was talking about his own cat, and he goes, I'm very much aware that my cat's only nice to me because I know where the food is.
I don't know. I think mine use can openers on the side.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely know where it's at.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I only give them dry food. Oh, God. You always wonder where those cans of tuna fish go, don't you?
Yes,
I do. Oh, anyway.
Chris,
it's been a good night, guys. I appreciate you guys being around, and some of the readings have been awesome, and others have been better.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Chris, it's so good to have you back. Thank you for calling.
I missed you guys, but it was I needed to catch a breath.
You know, we all need to do that every once in a while. That's why we book ourselves a week off every once in a while. Chris, thank you very much.
One thing I wanted to ask you, on your pieces that you're looking for, is there a particular theme that you want?
No theme. However, I haven't cleared it with the boys. I'm flying off the cuff here. Next Friday is the 30th. If you want to bring a ghost story and read that, you're welcome to do that too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Oh, I've got a couple of those.
Awesome. That's my project for the weekend.
I got to pick one that doesn't bring tears, though.
Okay.
That's going to be a thought. But we all got some good ones. Gotta love Halloween.
Me too.
I always love being by the door, giving candy out. When I was a kid, I used to go around and get candy like everybody else, and then come home and stand by the door and give it out to the next group of kids.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
That's really cool. Well, you know, I'm this year it's kind of cool because I'm teaching, part of what I'm doing is teaching drama to a bunch of kids, and they're all so ready for it and so excited anyway, but it's fun to be able to spend my time with them, helping them get into it more and enjoy it more. That's it's been a real blessing.
Yeah, well, there's too much fear. And if you can get the kids to smile and not be quite as afraid,
right.
It's a whole lot better world.
Agreed.
Well, I'll let all you right. guys go. You've got people waiting, but it was fun. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to hear you guys again.
Thank you,
Chris. Take care.
That was Chris on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Yeah, I didn't think you would mind if we did not a themed show per se, but welcomed ghost stories, poetry.
I'm all about it. I might even bring one myself.
I'm going to load up an old one, oldie but a goodie one, and then I've got a couple of ones that's ghost stories that I'm translating.
Do you want to know something really crazy about Halloween, though? Halloween, 14 years ago. I went into a coma.
What?
Yeah.
14 years ago.
Oh, right? No, not 14. 24.
24. Yeah,
24, I was going to be like 24 years ago. Sorry.
I knew you 10 years ago. I couldn't have.
Yeah, I was 11.
I went into a coma 14 years ago on Halloween, but it was sugar coma because I'd had way too much candy. I'm just totally kidding.
Wow. All right, let's move
on. All right, so our next poet is from Kentucky. Please welcome Philip.
Howdy, fellers.
Hello.
I just wanted to say before I blab about anything else, I really appreciated your reading, Mr. J. Todd Underhill. It was wonderful, and I don't know what else to say. It moved me. That's what I'm trying to say.
Thank you. And the surprise one's still coming up. I'm doing it at the end of this segment.
Wonderful. Well, I will have to make sure that I catch that. And thank you so much for, all your sharing and also spreading the word about World Poetry Open Mic. I try to share it, too, with people. I try to snag a few, readers and poets here and there, so I just hope it continues to grow. So.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, that's lent support and told their friends to check out our show. Every ounce helps when we're doing a platform like this.
Absolutely. We need it, guys. And, Philip, we really appreciate your help.
And coming in the new year, we're going to really need it.
We're going to really need it coming in the new year.
Well, that's wonderful. And, Mr. Amade, I just wanted to tell you, you are a marvelous reader. I think you could read a menu and you would make it sound wonderful. I think you could give people, here's how to paint something, and you would just, make it just flourish. So...
Are you saying he's the Bob Ross of poetry?
Well, I wouldn't want to go so far. But yeah, if you want to go there.
No, Philip, I appreciate the compliment very sincerely. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. And I'll get on with it and let my other fellow poets, take over the radio. But again, just thank you guys so much for everything you do, and I'll get to it. Here's one of my kind of semi-wordy titles. I know your name well, but like most things sublime, it too will remain anonymous. And, of course, that's for some woman that I will not name, but there it goes. That's the title. I know your name well, but like most things sublime, it too will remain anonymous. And here it goes. Lost in your twilight gazes, immersed in the watery far off, reflecting setting suns ablaze, redder than your cardiac muscle, throbbing love rhythms, pupils dilated wider than your coy smirk, winking its invitations, gracefully concealed nether, boyishly hidden behind your long auburn tresses. My stoic eyes, once stones, softened by your adoration. At war too long with symbols or anything makes one callous. easing your firm bosom and thighs into my cupped palms, I memorize their beauty. A dutiful sculptor graced by a fiery season with your blessed form. Granted me sanctuary with your eyes and kisses, merged in congress of the senses. Adrift and agog in your ocean, scented saline, reminiscent of tears redeemed, where deep in your warm loins I baptized what is lesser in me, what remains human, bent and crooked, no more nor any less errant than the first couple shunned from Eden. And there it is, fellers.
Very well done.
Thank
as
you
always,
so much.
In
and,
awe of your work.
You guys are wonderful. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I was going to say, as always, I'm in awe of your work. Very well done.
Oh, well, that means the world to me, J. Todd Underhill. It really does. That, you know, I just the fact that anybody ever takes a chance to listen to what I'm trying to write, it honors me, and it's beyond myself. You know, it's not about me. It's about words, poetry, and beauty, art, and love. I mean, I think that's where it is. And you guys represent that to, you know, whatever you want to call it, that the maximum. You are, you know, saturated, super saturated with love, joy, and gorgeousness. And I really applaud you guys for just keeping at it and helping all of us fellow poets to, you know, you give us a voice and a place to have a platform, you know, because there have been some lonely nights without you guys. Let's just put it that way. So I thank you, and I really appreciate it. So
you're not the first man to tell us that we've had lonely nights without us.
No.
But, we all have. And thank you so much, and I look forward to next week. And I love you guys wholeheartedly, so be well. Cheers.
Hey. Cheers,
thank
brother.
You. Hey, Philip, you got it, man. Thanks so much.
We love you,
yes,
too, Philip.
I appreciate it, Mr. Michael Amade. Yes, sir.
All right.
That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. Nice. Absolutely stunning night of poetry so far.
You know what would be great?
Hmm.
We should go to Michigan.
We just left Michigan. You want to go back?
I think we should go back.
All right.
You know what? You know why?
Why?
Because only losers go once.
Okay. Let's be a winner. Let's bring on our longest supporter. He is Dennis.
Hello, World Poetry Open Mic. I'm here for the return engagement.
Engagement?
Engagement.
Sorry.
Yes. Well, this time I get to read a poem of my own.
Nice.
And this time I wrote in the acrostic form. And the title is Yellow Rose. Your fragrant bouquet entices my senses, lifting me to new levels of appreciation. Only you can soothe the wild beast in me. Revealing your beauty, you offer peace and tranquility. So serene, I choose to ignore eventual thorns. The end.
There's got to be something in the water up there, I'm telling you.
Well, there is good water up here in Michigan, and good poetry, and I'm glad you appreciate it.
Always, always. You, Chris, every caller we have from Michigan just brings it,
yep.
Schools us.
Agreed it.
Well, that's what we're here to do, and we're glad you have provided us a platform. We are blessed because of you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio.
Wow. You know what I'm feeling right now?
I don't even want to venture a guess. Oh, yeah, go ahead and tell us.
That way to tempt me to say
something. I know, right?
Terrible. I was going to say that we should just go to Connecticut.
I think we should.
All right.
Please welcome the host of Red River Radio, Tales from the Pages. She is Barbara. Please welcome the host of Red River Radio, Tales from the Pages. She is Barbara.
Hello, guys.
Hello. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you for the plug.
Now, I wanted to ask you, Barbara, did you purposely make your radio show name a tongue twister? Red River Radio? I teach tongue twisters during the day. I want to say Wed Wibba Radio. Yeah.
It's that Wesley Webbit.
It used to be Red River Writers, RRW. And then there was a leadership change, and we then called it Red River Radio.
Really?
Tales from the Pages.
Well, when you have me on.
Like tongue twisters, you know that my book is called If I Could Be Like Jennifer Taylor.
Well, you know, if you have me on your show, I can read my poem, Mewage, on Wed Wibba Wadio.
You could.
You could.
First, I got to write a poem called Mewage.
Mewage, really? I have no idea what that word means, and I would love to know.
It's Elmer Fudd saying marriage.
It's provocative. It gets the people going.
Yes, Michael, come on my show. I have to find a time for you, though. Yeah. I am so busy on that show.
You don't know how many times he's heard that line. I need to find time for you.
Oh, yeah, nice.
No, I always have time for Michael. Come on.
You know, except for, now, like you just said, you didn't show. I'm giving you a hard time, Barbara. I really am just giving you a hard time.
Did I actually make you guys stop talking?
No. We're still with you.
We have pizza here. We all just took a bite at the same time.
Yeah, that just didn't happen.
No, we had a great show this week, too. I was supposed to have four authors, but one she didn't cancel. But you know how you always hate to deal with middle people? And so I was dealing with her publicist, and I kept saying to her, you know, this is what the time is. This is how it is. You know how I did with you?
Yeah.
All that stuff that we used to. Okay. So then I sent the questions and got no answer. And the day of the radio show, she didn't call in. So I was frantic and wrote a little email to her. And the publicist then wrote to me today. Now, what day is today?
Yeah, Friday, so a day late.
Yes. She said, I'm so sorry, but this person, I won't name her name because it is kind of bad. She told me it wasn't on her calendar, and so she, she couldn't do it. Can you believe this? Can you believe this?
Well, I can, because there are people that...
The job of a publicist to tell your person that you have an interview. This is her job. That is her only job, and she screwed up.
She had one job.
One job, and she screwed up. Anyway, this poem that I'm reading is not about that at all. It's about, it's going to kind of bring you down. It's about someone we know and love, Mary. Mary, who sometimes comes and plays on this show.
Oh, Mary in Wisconsin, yeah.
Yeah, Mary in Wisconsin, and she lost her mother this week.
Oh.
Yeah, so, of course, I wrote her a poem, and it's called Warrior. So here goes, Warrior. It's dedicated to Mary in Wisconsin. Warrior. You are a warrior. You fought while others lay back, taking up the fight and pushing on when it seemed the odds were too strong, and you persevered, doing it your way, going against the conventional wisdom, and finding she hung on like the last leaf on a dying tree. She clung ferociously to the nectar of life, and you attended her, kept her close to you, though it was a hardship almost too great for you to bear. Yet you tended her, and she clawed at death, refusing to leave except on her terms. And you spent your days immersed in your music, playing through the pain, not accepting the inevitable you knew would come someday. And then someday came, and she slipped away in the comfort of your presence, and you breathed in and tasted the air with her gone, a bittersweet aroma of freedom mixed with the sadness of her passing. And you did what you always do. You turned to your music, and let it envelop you as you try to drown your pain with more than the tinkling of your fingers on the ivories, but found the peace you needed as the familiar melodies flowed through your fingers and you were once more in the world you loved of notes and harmony where you could feel at peace. End poem.
Very well done.
Thank you.
I hope that comforts Mary and brings her strength through the trauma that she's going
through. Mary then played me, dedicated a song to me and played it.
Beautiful.
It was James Taylor. It's beautiful. And, you know, she was her mother's everything. And I just felt that, you know, she needed something, so.
Yeah, very well done.
That was it.
And
thank you.
Mary, when you're feeling strong enough, please come back. I know that these things take a lot out of you, and I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah, I wonder if she's listening. Sometimes she is, but well, you know, she's
if not, she might listen to the rebroadcast. We just want her to know we love our family member.
We do love Mary. She's just a sweetheart. Okay. And talk to you guys later.
Talk to you soon, Barbara.
Okay, talk to you next week. All right, bye-bye.
That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. All right. Barbara, Dennis, Philip, Chris. You know, let's go to a caller we haven't heard from yet tonight.
You kind of feeling like Jersey?
Yeah, of course, always feeling like Jersey. Please welcome June from Jersey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
I tried to get on. I think one time I tried to get back on, and you guys weren't doing it that night. I was like, okay, here I am. Okay. So it's been fun. I went to a book festival first time. That was cool.
Nice.
And anyway, but so I have one. It's, well, not quite Halloween. It's about angels, so they're spirits, right? It's called When Angels Call.
Okay.
It's in shimmering shyness, not always in open display, their delicate creatures probe throughout. Hold on. I got to go the other way. I'm sorry. Okay. Can I start over again?
Of course you can.
All right, let me start over again. I'm sorry. When angels call, in shimmering shyness, not always in open display, these delicate creatures probe throughout our normal day. More captivating and alluring than any mortal sense. When angels call us, we always feel less tense. Beautiful, gentle, and strong, in quiet blinking, they move along. Swift or slowly tapping our mind with only a light or heavenly song. When angels call, not all listen or believe, but as for me, I choose to hear her voice and humbly receive. The end. Sorry about that. Not so good start.
That's all right. Once I get my hands on it and edit it, it'll sound like there was no blip at all.
Oh, good. Okay.
And if I don't do it, then our half squatch will do it as well.
Okay.
our half squatch. He's not his own man. He's our half squatch.
Well, no, he's not anybody else's half squatch.
He's his own half squatch. There you go.
You know what? When you guys were saying somebody was saying they can get on with a phone, and I remember when I tried to. And I couldn't. I don't know if somebody can help me out with that one, because I was when you don't have a computer and you can't hear and you just keep calling.
No, did you download the audio app?
Yeah, there's the Mixler. The Mixler app is
MIDI,
free.
Mixler, yeah, sorry.
Mixler app is free, and you should be able to do it on your phone.
Okay, I'm not really good at doing the app things, but I could maybe ask somebody to help me out. Okay.
Okay, we'll find a way to work it out. Keep in touch with us. You can always send us a message at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. We'll help you figure it out also.
Thank you. It was good to hear you guys again.
Good to hear you again, too.
Okay, thanks. Have a good night.
You too. That was June from New Jersey on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Man.
All right.
Hey, you know what?
What?
We're going to Texas.
Again? It's raining there.
That's it. We're going to Texas.
Two by two, we're slowly going to load up that arc. Please welcome David. David, are you there? Looks like we lost David. No?
No. One second. Oh, wait.
Oh, David, now are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
It's a Skype problem. They downloaded a new version, and we're trying to navigate all this stuff.
I swear they update this thing every week. It's ridiculous.
They do. And yeah. We can't keep up on all the tech stuff. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. All right. I called earlier. So this poem is kind of similar to the other one as far as kind of being a meta poem about my journey through poetry over the last several years. So I'll just go ahead and go right into it. I don't usually have much of a preamble here. It's called Banished from Babylon. They're there, the seekers, the oath breakers, hiding in plain sight while splattered against the iron wall, an indelible wall of pretense in the matters of casual discourse. Such stories we tell to ourselves smack of volition's deceit and downfall. A king overthrown from his glittering throne by complexities as knotted as a Gordian twist, sluicing through oily rainbows in the totality of extradition. Their absolution melts incessantly into the gray-green sea foam of an overzealous rising tide. 1,000 thrumming thoughts galvanized through a war of attrition, a war they were sure to sorely lose. Extracted from the blood of the diseased, the virus spreads against inoculation. A splicing of kingdoms in the vast hands of the villainous. The blade of the sleeper's cell cuts the cord on controlled chaos. Contact is forced in the primal voice of the excommunicated. Muscles flex in a contest of power as the thumbscrews tighten on feather. Thus begins the tale of ages and ends the era of unity. We're here. Our chromatic voices loom and sing, belching our familiar rainbow tune to the unwashed mass of denial. Sharps and flats in robe attacks in harmony's chant of heroism. Thank you.
Once again, man, wonderful work.
Throwing down from Texas. Thanks. Very well done.
Appreciate it.
All right. Stay dry this weekend. That was David on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
You know, I want to just quickly say, for everybody listening, our thoughts and prayers are with everybody who's being affected, by the hurricane. And
yes,
there's a lot of people whose lives are being affected by it, and our thoughts are with them. And we hope that it passes. It's much lighter than we expect it to be, and then we also hope that for those who need help with recovery, that we can make that as quick and expedient as possible.
Yes, and our thoughts and prayers go out to Jim Cantore, because no matter where the weather is happening, they always seem to send him there. I'm totally kidding. Totally kidding.
Maybe not. Maybe you're not kidding. I think he's an extreme weather specialist.
He must have just made his boss angry, is all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, his first week he walks in and the boss's daughter goes, oh, he's cute. Boom! There you go. Hurricane season? There
Rita,
you go, buddy.
Katrina.
Special report from the lava lava explosion in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle. Send him.
That's all right. All right. Enough silliness. I'm going to read a cover. Now, I don't do a lot of covers here, but I do occasionally a cover on this show. When I do live open mics, I actually do a lot more covers. But this one, this poet, I don't think I've covered on our show before. I don't know why, because it seems we say goodnight to him just about every week. So I was perusing my collection, and I found a poem by Robert Mortlin entitled The Unpursued Lover. You're so sweet. You move through my dreams. You lessen my torments. Silence my screams. Your mind so beautifully fragile. I yearn to touch. Your heart should be mine. In my confusion, Still, I know this much. Your skin, your hair, your eyes too, all beg me to make my honest feelings known to you. You're younger, purer than me, 'tis true, but together I can't conceive of anything we couldn't do. I long to be yours and for you to be mine, but alas, your age makes all of my feelings for you a waste of our time. I have a pledge myself. In years, you are too young. But pain, God, it pains me to leave your love songs unsung. Even in meeting you only a few times, you've made the world made a world that was damning divine. I feel I love you. At least I think it's not lust. Yet I yearn to taste your maidenly bust. I can't describe beyond your face and that I always imagine surrounding in white wedding lace. I'll come out and say it. I wish you were mine. Because of your age, I'm wasting your time. I'll ask you a favor. For me, it's not mine. Keep me in mind, for in 4 years' time, you shall reach my mental limit, and I'll allow your love to be mine. But alas, until then, I'm just wasting my mind. And that was Robert C. Moreland. And the story behind that one is he met this girl, and she was far too young for him. Now, for me saying that, that's saying something. He was 21. She was 14. And he was willing to wait and say, you know, 4 years, when you're 18, we can pursue this. And she was not. So broke his heart.
And there's very few. There are very, very, I mean, and I'm not saying this in a negative way. There are very few 14-year-olds who could ever make a commitment like that and really stick.
Juliet. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Totally kidding.
You know, I had, last year I did an adaptation. Actually, it was this year.
It was this year.
Well, yeah.
Earlier this spring. Yeah, spring. I did an adaptation for a children's theater for Romeo and Juliet. And really going through that text and digging through it and looking at all the lines and deconstructing everything. Those kids were crazy.
Yeah.
When you actually read the poem, it's just two really overdramatic kids who come from very overdramatic families, and they just spin out of control. And it's just it's funny that that's considered such, you know, to be such a romantic play. It's really a play about idiocy, I think, personally.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, there's a difference between falling in love and loving.
Yes.
Big
there
difference.
Is. There is.
And I actually heard a great phrase saying that falling in love is to get you out of a bad relationship, but loving is where you need to do the work to actually have a real relationship.
To salvage the relationship.
Yeah.
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 All right. That being said, we've had a special request from Michael that we do a acapella.
I suppose. You know, I don't have my guitar with me. I haven't done it in a while. I just thought of a song. And the reason I was thinking about doing it is my... been thinking a lot about my voice teacher, the late great Gerald Lipinski.
Okay.
And this guy was a guy who an extraordinary man, an inventor, musician, composer, great teacher. And he studied at Juilliard, taught at all kinds of colleges and everything, was my mentor, my voice teacher for a long time. And I remember there was this place I used to go play with my brother back before I went to Colorado Springs. And one day, I guess, or one evening, Lipinski and his wife showed up, and I wasn't there, and he sang. And he sang the song a cappella. And I was just thinking about it, and I haven't done this in years. I was thinking I'd give it a try. So we'll all see right. If we can go to Studio X. It may work, it might not. Let's see if we can make it work here. The Hadrian Collider might work. This one is an old spiritual song. It's called Sweet Little Jesus Boy. This is a... Gerald Lipinski used to sing this. Let's hope this works. Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little homely child. Didn't know who you were. Didn't know you could.
But please, forgive us, Lord. We didn't know it was you.
So that does it for our show. If you missed out and you want to call in, 8 o'clock at Mountain Time next week, tune in to worldpoetryopenmic.net. For Michael Amade, the Half Squatch, and myself, we thank you for tuning in this week. Good night, Robert Mordlin, wherever you're at.